This is Construction Business Mastery, episode number 8. In the fast-paced, high-tech world of construction today, 80% of the new start construction companies go broke or out of business within the first year. In 5 years, only 2% of the construction companies remain. Construction Business Mastery is dedicated to providing educational information and resources necessary for construction companies to succeed and prosper. Hello, this is Glenn Wilson, and again, I'll be your host for this episode of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. This is our 8th podcast in a series of podcasts that are dedicated to assisting independent and medium-sized contractors succeed and prosper in the construction industry. In the feature segment of the podcast, we are going to be looking at how the economy downturn continues to affect independent and medium-sized contractors, and how by making a few adjustments in the way we do business will put us in a better position to withstand the economic downturn. In the legal segment of our podcast, we will be looking at recent developments in design-build case law. This is a must listen to for anyone involved in design-build construction. In the safety section, we are going to be looking at how OSHA is viewing lead hazards in our industry. And in our bonus section, we will be providing information and links about a lot of the information that we provided in the feature segment of our podcast. Welcome to this month's feature segment of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. It has been over 2 months since I produced our last podcast, and I'm sure a few of you have wondered what happened to me and even thought maybe I dropped off the face of the earth. But rest assured, I'm still here, and I am still committed to helping independent and medium-sized contractors succeed and prosper in their construction endeavors. To tell the truth, I have been extremely busy for the last 2.5 months, reevaluating all of the construction business practices and operations here within my own company. Several months ago, I shared with you that when I took the construction company success evaluation test, that I had only scored, I think, an 84%, which was passing, but still not as good as it should have been. As the economic times in the construction industry continue to worsen, and now that we're heading into the winter months, I felt that it was important that I completely overhaul our company's operations. This move was precipitated primarily by our success in achieving several contracts, which should have put us in a good position for next year. However, we had to take those contracts at a reduced overhead and profit margin, so the only way to correct for that necessity was to reduce our costs. I charged our management team to find ways of cutting at least 25% of our cost of operations across the board. I think that the only way that independent and medium-sized contractors are going to survive over the next few years, until hopefully a economic correction can take place, is to do just exactly what we have just completed doing. So I will be sharing with you a few of my thoughts and ideas and providing you with some helpful tips and information at the end of this podcast to hopefully achieve the same kind of success we did in our reevaluation. The first thing we had to affect was our attitude. We had to correct what I call the Chicken Little effect. You know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Everyone in our organization knew that we were not winning contracts and we were not picking up work at a rate that we should have been. So we had to provide assurances to our core management team that we were all in this together and we were in it for the long haul. But that also might require some sacrifice. we invited all of the employees of the company to a strategic planning retreat. Everyone in the company was included, the management and administrative staff, and the field crews were all included. At the meeting, we laid out exactly where the company stood financially and what the short and long-term prognosis was for the company. I was pleasantly surprised with everyone's grasp of the economic situation and their willingness to participate and help in the total success of the company. This does reinforce several studies that I have read lately that people today want to be a part of the organizations that they work for, and they want to feel that their voices are being heard, that they want to shape the destiny of the organizations that they work for as well as their own destiny. This did prove to be the case with our people. The ideas and suggestions that we received at this retreat resulted in our being able to obtain our 25% goal in reducing our cost of operations. Aside from the employee compensation and benefit packages that were adjusted during our retreat, I would like to share with you several items that I think everyone should explore in achieving some cost savings to your operations. We had been dealing with the same insurance agency for the past 15 years. Each year, when our policies would come due and it was time to renew them, that agency would go out and find the best quotes that they could from the markets that they had and resubmit new quotes to us each year. We took our combined insurance package to another agency and asked them to evaluate the cost. They had a totally different group of insurers that could handle our insurance policies, and when we received the new quotations back, we found that by going with the new agency, we could save about 35% on our construction insurance costs. The next area that we looked at was our banking relationships. We went to our existing bankers and told them that we had received, which we had, a quotation from another bank to move our accounts, and asked them to take a look at reevaluating our interest cost on our lines of credit and checking account fees and so forth. They came up with a completely new package for us, which saved us additional money. We also went to our major materials suppliers and subcontractors and negotiated with them for better pricing on the materials and services that they were providing to us. We also implemented tighter controls on employees making purchases for projects from things like lumber companies, hardware suppliers, etc. Previously, we had sent cost reports to our superintendents on the project sites on a monthly basis. At the suggestion of the superintendents during our retreat, we are now sending these cost reports, particularly on labor, out to each superintendent on a weekly basis, providing them more opportunity to control their cost. One of the largest areas by percentage that we were able to save money on was in our communications. Simply put, our telephone system. We implemented a new phone system with an internet protocol called VOIP, Voice Over the Internet Protocol. By instituting this system, we were able to save over 75% on our communications cost, and it provided us better accessibility to all of our remote locations. All in all, I was very pleased with the work that we were able to accomplish with the information that came out of our retreat and strategic planning session. In addition, I feel like we have implemented procedures and practices that every member in the company enthusiastically supports and buys into. Now it's time for the legal segment of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. This segment is brought to you by WP Publishing Company Incorporated, publisher of the Construction Claims Advisor. The following information comes from Michael Lolakis. Lolakis is president and CEO of Capital Project Strategies, a construction consulting firm in Greater Washington, D.C. Before starting Capital Project Strategies, Lolakis was chairman and president of a national construction law firm, Wickwire Garvin, P.C., where he spent 28 of his 30-year law career representing parties engaged in all aspects of public and private construction. Only within the last decade has the design-build philosophy taken root in the United States. The general contracting market is much better at handling design management than they were 10 years ago. The concept of design-build is as old as the building industry itself, though builders here have viewed it as a non-traditional format until recently. Simply stated, design-build is when the design and construction of a building happen collaboratively to streamline the overall process, unlike the more accepted design-bid-build format. One entity, either a contractor or a designer, contracts with the owner and then leads the project, subcontracting the other major players. Under this agreement, the lead entity often contractually assumes the liability for the project. Design-build holds particular interest for owners, who are always interested in shifting liability. From the owner's perspective, using design-build leads them to the feeling that they will not have anyone coming after them for a claim. However, the process and case law are not as linear as owners would like. Owners still have a need for control, which comes into play both at the procurement stage and the execution stage. When that control conflicts with what contractors want, contractors are going to protect their commercial position. They'll fight for what they believe is right. It is at this juncture that owners and contractors enter the judicial arena. Though the amount of design-build case law is growing, the current data available is minimal. Only a small sliver of cases go to a reported decision. For those on the path to trial, most settle before entering the courtroom. For those whose contracts mandate arbitration, most decisions are not appealed. So the record is unavailable. But regardless of the avenue a contractor and owner take, the process is expensive. Lolakis said that there are 9 areas he sees that receive repeated attention in discussions and problems with design-build. They are as follows. 1. Single point of responsibility is alive and well. While the design builders really need to take liability seriously and price it accordingly, this is not like at-risk construction management. Owners have to remember, if they assume control, they have responsibility. 2. Risk of site conditions may actually be borne the way the contract says. If a contract shifts all the site condition risk to the contractor better be prepared for the consequences if differing site condition occur. This includes pre-bid site inspections and verifying all bid documents and specs. 3. Owners bear the risk of errors in design documents they provide to design builders. The Sheerin doctrine is alive and well in design and build case law. If the owner represents something and the design build contractor reasonably relies upon it, the design builder gets the benefit of the doubt. That means the contractor may get additional money and time spent to mitigate what is indicated in the owner's design. 4. Owners and design builders are challenged by performance specifications. Many builders do not know how to bid performance specs, and they do not have carte blanche to disregard design specs. Likewise, owners face the risk of having differing design and performance specs. Side-by-side comparisons of the specs early on can save time, headaches, and money once the projects are well underway. 5. Standard of care issues may become more complicated as the scope of services expands. Even when the owner provides flawed design specs, the design builder owes a duty of care to make recommendations that fully specify all the risks, such as pointing out if a system will not function the way the owner intends. But contractors aren't mind readers, and if the owner approves the design and work progresses, its negligence claim against the contractor will be unsuccessful. 6. The big fight is frequently at the subcontractor level. Design builders are very adept at passing risk down to subcontractors. Relationships are fragile, and if a sub isn't careful, it may lose out. 7. Courts appear to be giving a fresh look at provisions addressing warranties, limitation of liabilities, and consequential damages. If the owner disregards its warranty, it may lose its right against the design builder's work. 8. Courts afford public sector owners broad discretion to make their procurement decision. Many disputes occur when owners do not follow provisions of their bidding procedures. For the most part, as long as they're acting within their discretion, owners win those arguments. 9. Actions for fraud and bad faith dealings will be on the upswing with the increase in design build and IPD delivery systems. There has been some case law where fraud elements have been included. These have included improper claim submissions, False Claims Act violations, Truth and Negotiation Act violations, and outright fraud. This is not limited to contractors. Owners are not immune. In some cases, owners thought they could withhold information from their contractors and not be held liable. Most disputes arise over contract ambiguities, contract formation challenges, and insurance issues. In summary, a contractor must protect his position if something goes wrong. And now it's time for our safety segment of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. This month, we're going to be looking at a new development, or at least one that's a little more recent, and this involves lead hazard. Lead hazards are addressed in specific standards in the OSHA regulations, with OSHA inspectors citing more violations every day. Lead is an ingredient in thousands of products widely used throughout the industry, including lead-based paint, lead solder, electrical fittings and conduits, tank linings, plumbing fixtures, and many metal alloys. Although many uses of lead have been banned, lead-based paints continue to be used on bridges, railways, ships, and other steel structures because of its rust and corrosive inhibiting properties. Significant lead exposure can also occur when paint is removed from surfaces previously covered with lead-based paint. OSHA has regulations governing construction worker exposure to lead. Employers of construction workers engaged in the repair, renovation, removal, demolition, and salvage of structures and materials are responsible for the development and implementation of a worker protection program in accordance with the lead safety standard. Recently, OSHA cited a company with 17 alleged willful and serious violations of workplace health and safety standards to a construction firm with a total of $254,000 in penalties. These followed after comprehensive inspections that began last April. According to OSHA's area director, chief among the hazards identified are inadequate or absent protection for workers whose duties expose them to airborne contaminations of lead. The director stated that lead is a subtle and insidious hazard that can cause serious damage to the blood, also produces nervous disorders, causes urinary and reproductive system problems. This reality makes it imperative that employers monitor their workers' lead exposure levels, provide effective respiratory protection, and properly remove workers from exposure when necessary. I agree with what is stated here. I know that it has been a constant struggle to keep our employees safe from these kinds of hazards, but it is the lawful and moral responsibility of the company nevertheless. And now for the quick tips and bonus section of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. As I discussed during our feature segment, I will be providing you with information here about several of the products and services that we engaged in reducing our construction operating costs. You will find links in the show notes to all of these items. One of the areas that we were able to obtain substantial savings was in our telephone communications. We went from $1,800 a month down to $300 a month. We did this by utilizing a service by Packet 8. The telephone service is done over the Internet using the VOIP or Voice Over the Internet protocol. Our system includes an auto attendant and extensions here in the office and at remote locations, including job sites. Now that some of our folks are working from home or other remote locations, this system provides a seamless interface to them. Packet 8 has agreed to provide our listeners with substantial savings on a Packet 8 system. I suggest that you get hold of David Phan, and that's P-H-A-N. He is an account manager at Packet 8. His toll-free number is 877-404-7506. Give him the discount code of CBM Podcast, Construction Business Mastery Podcast. With that, you'll receive a discount for your phone extension, which is normally $29.99 a month, down to $21.99 a month, waiver of all activation fees, free shipping on equipment, and as an added bonus, 1 month free service. The second area that we received substantial savings was in our insurance. I recommend that you look up NetQuote, NETQUOTE.com. Fill out the information and you will get numerous quotations from companies that may save you substantial money. The area that we were able to achieve the majority of our savings came from our company retreat. The format for what we did at the retreat came from a book that I received from a good friend of mine by the name of Jeff Peden. I think I have told you all a little bit about Jeff in a previous podcast. But Jeff has written a book called Take It to the Max, The Ultimate Strategy for Maximizing Profits and Growth. In this book, Jeff lays out some concrete examples how, by focusing on customers, employees, and company, we can take our businesses to new levels of not only profitability and success, but also enjoyment. This whole concept is extremely important as we move into the next decade and begin to experience the massive paradigm shift that is occurring in the way we are doing business. So, as a special offer, Jeff has agreed to let us offer his book at a 20% discount. The book normally sells for $23.95 and cannot be purchased on the open market, only through private sources. So your cost by entering the CBM podcast, Construction Business Mastery podcast code, you will receive the book for $19.20 plus shipping and handling. I truly feel that this is the best book I've read focusing on company growth this entire year. To get your copy of the book, go to www.cbmapodcast.com/JPeden. Again, I'd like to encourage everyone to go to iTunes and rate this podcast, write a review, and let other people know what you think of it so that we can be more widely accessible to more contractors. Thank you for listening to the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast, and I promise that we will be more regular in producing our podcasts this coming year, and I'd like to wish everybody a very prosperous new year.